Now, this morning I want to preach to you out of a book that you might be familiar with. You say, well, what book is that? Is it Romans? Is it Corinthians? I want to preach to you first out of the book of Dictionary. That's not one of the 66, but I want to give you a couple of definitions because I think they'll be important to us. So the first definition is this. The definition of the word courage. Everybody say courage. What is courage? Courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., which is a big word, to pretty much face anything without fear. Without fear. It's considered bravery. But courage is something that is a core and essential part of what rises up when we begin to put our faith and our trust in God. An obsolete usage, the heart as a source of emotion. But that is not so obsolete when you look at some older usages of this. That heart, that passion, that courage that rises up. One of the idioms that we see here is to have the courage of one's convictions to act in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. Now, this is a dictionary definition, but I think it'll preach, especially number three there. And here's why. How many of us know that there will be obstacles in this world? Nobody faces obstacles. Wow. Let's try that again. How many know that there will be obstacles in this world? Amen. All right. You can say amen. You can talk out loud. It's okay because I've got a microphone. I can always be louder than you. So don't worry about it. Just speak out. You'll be fine. So how many know that there are challenges in this world? Amen? Amen. Amen. So what do you do when you face a challenge? Well, if we're honest, sometimes we go, well, I don't know, and begin to waver because we lack the courage to be able to say, I'm going to stand with faith and with belief. And so when we have those beliefs that stand in the face of criticism, we have courage to be able to be emboldened by our faith in the Lord. There are reasons that the scriptures say so many times, fear not, because fear will always stand in the way of courage. Fear will always stand in the way of us boldly stepping into those areas of faith where God is calling us. Another word that we want to look at today is to encourage. Now, this is a verb. It means to inspire with courage. In other words, to give someone else courage, to be able to give that spirit or confidence. Example, his coach encouraged him throughout the marathon race to keep on running. Anybody besides me ever need encouragement? Amen? All right? You know what that's like. You're having one of those days and somebody just calls you up and say, hey, I just want to tell you, I love you. I appreciate you. God's on your side. Don't worry about anything. He's faithful. You just, wow, I'm so encouraged by that. One of the reasons we come and gather together is so that we can be encouraged. I'm going to tell you what, when we lift our voices and when we begin to worship the Lord and we're all here, yes, we're worshiping God, but aren't you encouraged by the shared worship of the body of Christ? Aren't you encouraged by being able to come together and to bless Him and to praise Him? It also means to stimulate by assistance or approval. And so there's a teaching aspect to encouragement. And when we look at the Word of God and begin to study it and begin to see what God says, that aspect of that encouragement begins to rise. Then there's to promote, advance, or foster something. It's to allow it to move forward. Well, when we have encouragement to allow courage to rise up in us, we can stand in that courage and that confidence that is there. But let's have that honest reality this morning. How many of us can be honest and say, I'm not always filled with that kind of courage. I'm not always filled with that kind of boldness. Sometimes fear can get in the way. Sometimes that courage diminishes. I want us to be clear this morning. That courage is not in our own strength, but we are to have courage in the strength of the Lord. We are to have that strength that comes from Him to be able to walk faithfully. Well, I want to look at an example of a man who exercised this. Judges chapter 6. If you take your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 6. Bookmark it if you would. I want you to read the whole story later, maybe later today or tomorrow. But to look at the whole story of one of my favorite characters in Scripture, and that's Gideon. And we start off with the context and the background of what's going on here. It says, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian. The sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable and they came into the land to devastate it. This is the army they were facing. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. I love that scripture because when we cry out to God, He answers. Amen? And the sons of Israel cried out. It says now in verse 7, it came about when the sons of Israel when they cried out to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. You have not obeyed me. We know that obedience is so important in order to see God at work in our lives. And then verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the yoke that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. If there are ever two verses that don't seem to go together, it's verse 11 and verse 12. You have a man who is so afraid of everything that's going on that he is hiding in the lower levels of a wine press, beating out the wheat to try and get a little bit of sustenance to save because the Midianites have come and taken everything away from this army, has overrun them. And as he's hiding and trying to do this quietly, the Lord comes to him and says, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the time of worship that we've had. We thank you for an opportunity to look at Gideon and his life. And right now, in the few moments that we have, we pray that we would be encouraged to have courage, to trust you according to the name that you give us and the way that you call us to walk. And so, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to look at Gideon's life very, very briefly and see that this is a man who lived as we oftentimes live, aware of the circumstances and even afraid of the consequences of those circumstances, trying to just take care of his own and in survival mode, trying to just be good to his family and take care of what was needed there, and yet not seeing the picture when you step in and when you begin to speak, having that resistance and those questions that would arise. So Lord, I pray that we would get the overview today, that this is a man so much like us, even though we are so removed in years, in geography, even in circumstances, for we have not an army coming against us, but we have an enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know that he would love to destroy the opportunity that is there in our lives today, to understand how you are calling us to be the valiant warriors that will rise up and proclaim the name of Jesus and live by faith and trust in you every day. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in your precious name. Amen. Obviously, we're not going to take a lot of time. I have a whole message. I probably have about three messages in one there, but we're not going to do that. I have a couple of keys, and I want you to just jot these things down if you would, please, because I think you can look back on these. And first of all, our key verse today is verse 14. Verse 14 is so important to us, and that's in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. It's the Lord's response to him, because I want to give you a few points about courage. Number one, courage comes with contact with the Lord. Courage comes with contact with the Lord. Do you feel encouraged today by having been in the Lord's presence? Aren't you encouraged that you can rise up and know that God is faithful, our God is higher, our God is stronger, because we sang it, we spent time in his presence. It's time in the presence of the Lord. It says that the Lord looked at him. How many of us have ever been in a situation where we knew that if somebody looked at us, that meant some responsibility on our part? Okay? You know what that means? Like you're the kid and you see that the trash needs taken out and your parents look at you and you're like looking somewhere else, you know? Or maybe you're looking around and you know somebody needs some help, and if they look at you, you need to help them, and you're kind of... The Lord looked at him. And sometimes when the Lord looks at us, we know what that means. It means he's going to ask us to look back at him because he has something to say. It's when we... give attention to the Lord, when we look at him. I want to tell you that part of having courage in the Lord is just spending time with him and looking at him and knowing who he is and seeing his face and his beauty and his majesty, that when the Lord looks at us, we look back at him. And when we look at him, he gives courage and strength. Take a look at Matthew 14, verses 26 and 27. The disciples were on a boat. They see Jesus walking on the water. It says, when they saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Can we understand this morning that when we look at Jesus and he says, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid, that we can trust him in any storm, any struggle, any sea, any wind, any wave, that we know that he is faithful and he will carry us through. He is faithful to that. Number two, courage gives confidence. The Lord said to him, go in this your strength. Gideon is in good company of those who find courage in the Lord, because throughout the scriptures we see people again and again who are told to go and trust the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, words that were spoken by Moses to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. We know that God is faithful, and God will not fail us, and God will not forsake us. Amen? Jesus also commanded the people to take courage and confidence in him in a couple of areas, and I'm going to look a little bit more at those next week, but just understand that these are the words of Jesus as well. For example, when he says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Take courage. When God does something in our lives, we can take courage through that. And so we recognize this truth of Scripture here, that God is faithful and that he is calling us to take courage in the Lord. The next thing that we see is that courage will be challenged. Our courage will be challenged. Look at the response of Gideon. He says, but Lord, if the Lord's with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are his miracles? The Lord's abandoned us. Am I the only one that when God says, go, we say, but Lord, what about? And God makes a promise. We say, oh Lord, that sounds wonderful, but we need to stop looking at those aspects of it and understand that God is faithful to help us in those times. I like watching tennis. I was watching a little bit of Wimbledon, and one of the announcers was talking about one of the players. And they were saying that this player was talking about the difference between winning and losing. And they were down in a set, and instead of saying how many sets they were down and how they were about to lose, they were saying to themselves, I only have 5 more games to win, and I can win this match. The difference in that perspective. And the commentator said, I was always driven more by the fear of losing than by the joy of winning. That there's something that motivates us. There's something that causes us to rise up. And when God speaks, we can begin to say, Lord, but you don't understand. I'm down these sets, and this is happening, and that's happening. And we can give all the excuses in the world. If you want to find a reason for God to not work in your life, you can find it in a heartbeat. If you want to find a reason to not do what God tells you to do, there will be one at the ready. And if you don't have one, one will be provided for you. The enemy is right there to tell us all the reasons why God cannot give us courage in that moment. But we need to understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And because of that, we have a truth that when that courage is challenged, we're able to rise up. We're going to talk about some of those challenges next week, so I won't take time. But just know that God is faithful. The next is the aspect of this courage, that it comes with a commission to accomplish the mission. God doesn't just give us courage so we can be strong people. He doesn't just give us courage so we can stand with heads held high. He gives us courage to complete a task. God has a mission for every one of us. Poke your neighbor and say, God has a mission for you. And that mission is impossible. Go ahead and cue the music. No, just kidding. God has a mission. And here's the reality. A God-sized mission will never be accomplished with man-sized courage. A God-sized mission can only be accomplished when we have God-sized courage that understands that the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior, that you can accomplish all that he calls you to accomplish, and we have a mission to accomplish. He says, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. God gives a commission to us and gives us the ability and the strength to be able to do so. Oftentimes, we go to prayer asking God to take the challenge away. I'm sure this is the prayer of Gideon and of his family and of the rest of Israel. Lord, take away these Midianites and these Amalekites. Take them away. I just want them out of here. Let us go back to a place of peace. What's God's answer? He says, oh no, you go take them away. You go do the battle. You go fight and I will stand with you. It's amazing how God worked that out, and we'll see more of that next week, but we understand this, that there's always a mission, and here's why. Courage just to survive is wasted courage. God doesn't give us courage just to survive. He gives us courage to overcome. We We need to set our prayer plane a little bit higher. Instead of saying, Lord, help me make it through this day. Lord, help me to survive. We need to pray, Lord, help me to be an overcomer. Help me to advance the gospel. Help me to be powerful and mighty in you. Our prayer level is set too low. And so we wonder, why doesn't God meet that prayer? Because that's not the prayer he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray the prayer that is higher, that requires more, that is a prayer of something we cannot do in our own strength, for it will require his strength and his courage. And then when we look at this last part, courage comes from the call. He says, have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? Do you know that you are called? Not only are you given a mission, but you are called by the living God to complete that mission. That's why we're still here, because God has a plan for us. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for each and every one of you. God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. And because of that, we listen to that call. The call of his God and his truth triumphs over every other factor. It's what defines everything. And so look at the Lord's response. He says in response to Gideon, saying, Lord, what about the problems? And what about this? And we haven't seen miracles. And we haven't seen, and what about the army? And what about this? And we're not, and I can't. And the Lord says, shh. Sometimes, shh, saith the Lord, is the best thing we can hear. Just stop. Have I not called you? I want you to hear that from the Lord this morning. Not from my voice, but from God himself. Have I not called you? Because that call comes implicitly with the power and the strength of God to complete that call if we'll be faithful to him. When God calls us, when he says, you can accomplish this, we have the faith to believe that there is power that is there. I mentioned earlier that there's something in a name. I want to read Judges chapter 6, verse 11 for you. Turn there if you would, Judges 6, 11. Again, bookmark this entire chapter. But it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And then Judges 6, verses 15 and 16. He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now, I'm going to take you on just a very quick journey. So take out a pen, take out a paper, and write a couple of things down. First of all, these are the meanings of these names that are here. Names are important in Scripture. Joash, who is Gideon's father. Joash is Gideon's father. And so Joash means Jehovah is strong, or given by the Lord. Okay, so we'll just note that. I want you to write it down, because we're going to put it all together at the end. I'm not going to talk about each one. We'll just put it together. The next was this aspect of an oak. This was his oak, and it represents strength. Then the Abiezrite, my father is help. Joash, the Abiezrite. And so the Lord is my strength, or given by the Lord. My father is help. And then Gideon means hewer. Now, it's from the root word, which means to be cut down or chopped down. And there's an interesting thing about this name Gideon, because if he is the hewer, he is the one that is cutting down and chopping down. But if he is the one on the receiving end, he is the one who is cut down and chopped down. Depends on whether we're on the giving or the receiving end of that one sometimes. And then there is Manasseh, which means forgotten. And then he says, we're the least among this, and I am the youngest. So the least among the already forgotten and the youngest at that. So Gideon's looking real good here. Here's what it looks like in human terms for Gideon. He says, I have relied on the strength of my father. He's relied on the strength of Joash. He's relied on that oak that was his father. He's been dependent upon another man through his life. He's been depending on him. He's the strong one. He's been my help. I'm not the strong one. I need to stay under the shade of my earthly father's protection in order to survive here. I'm the one that needs someone to carry me along. I want to tell you this morning that if you come here and you're looking to some other man, some other woman to be the shade under which you park, to say, well, they'll be the one to help me. They'll be the one to carry me. God would say, rise up, O valiant warrior. Because it's so easy for us sometimes to try to park under someone else's blessing, to park under someone else's shadow, to park under someone else's provision, to park under someone else's security. But the Lord calls us to step out from that and stand in the strength of the Lord. And when we do that, God is faithful to meet us. And so this morning, if you're here and you say, well, you know, I've been dependent on this and that, maybe God will bring illumination to your mind to know this is what you've been depending upon. This is where you've been tucking yourself underneath. But now I'm calling you to stand and to stand strong in faith in me, in courage in me. And then he said, my job is just to cut wood. I'm a hewer. I'm just here to cut the wood. I'm just here to swing that axe. I'm just here to thresh out the wheat. He's there and he says, well, I'm doing my job. I'm just going through the motions. I'm taking care of business. But I think there's another meaning here. I think when we look at Gideon's name, there are some who have been chopped down, who have been cut, who have been broken, who have been hurt. I can't imagine what it must have been like for Gideon to live in that kind of fear, where a foreign army was coming and taking away everything that they owned, including their food, including their sustenance, including their crops. This cutting down of a nation by the advance of another nation was so powerful and so significant that they were hiding out in caves and the strongholds. But what we see is that when Gideon stood there as a man who was being cut down, he wasn't seeing what God was seeing, which is a man who's able to rise up and go forward. The problem with our past is not so much what has happened in the past. The problem with our past is that it informs our present and ruins our future. If we put our eyes on how we have been broken, how we have been hurt, we can spend the next 30 years trying to recover from that. This may sound discompassionate, and I don't intend for it to be. But I want to tell you that by the power of Jesus Christ, whatever's gone in your past, you can be over it through his strength and through his healing and through his power. You can be over it. It can be done. Jesus went on that cross and he stretched out his arms and he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. And the finished work of the cross completes the healing that you need today. For any brokenness, any pain where you've been cut down. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get help, you shouldn't talk to others, and shouldn't be encouraged, but be careful that that past does not define you, because God is calling you by a new name today. Be careful that that past doesn't keep you from being one of courage, who is encouraged by the power and the strength of the Lord. And so here's Gideon, cut down, broken, afraid, trying to survive. He says, my family is the least of the least. We're the forgotten ones. He says, I'm weak, I'm small, cut down, beat up, insignificant, and forgotten. Anybody ever been there? Oh, Lord, here we are. It's just me, little old me. You know, I just kind of beat up this week, and I think you forgot about me. I'm still here, right, God? Okay, yeah. And we get in that mode, and there's Gideon in that survival defense mode. And guess what? Gideon is still breathing. Gideon is still talking to the Lord. Gideon is still doing what he should do in his daily life. Gideon is still helping to care for his family. Looking at Gideon from the outside, everyone would say, he's okay. But God is not settled with okay. You see, we've settled for less. We've settled for survival. We've settled for just making it. We've settled on the basics. We've settled on being the least and being small and being insignificant and being forgotten, when God looks at every one of us and says, I have a job for you, so rise up, O valiant warrior. Take courage, be strengthened, and go forward in my power and in my name. And when we begin to understand what is happening here, that we are defined by the same terms, something comes along here. Furthermore, it says that the Midianites were there. Midianites means strife. You know what strife is? It's contention. It's the nature of the culture around us to be at strife, at war, in tension, in conflict. Anybody ever just want to go lock yourself in a quiet room and get away from all the tension, all the drama? How many ever saw that video on YouTube? I think it was Drama Mine, you know, just get rid of all of it, take it away. In Jesus' name, there is power to stand in the middle of the strife, in the middle of the tension, in the middle of all that's going on, and still be encouraged and take courage and know that God is faithful to us. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, and worship team, just come on and back up here if you would, please. But as we stand together, I want to tell you that we are not that unlike Gideon at times. Maybe today, after a time of worship, you're saying, wow, the Lord is my strength. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm full of faith. I'm full of vigor. That's awesome if you are. But let's be honest. There are times where we're just in survival mode, right? Times where we're just kind of going, okay, Lord, I'll keep my head down and hope I can make it through this day. All right, Lord, I'm just going to do my job. I'm just going to take care of the basics. But God has a calling for your life. Thank you for all three of you that believe that this morning. God has a calling for your life. You got to say it to believe it. You got to see it to say it. So this morning, God has a calling for your life. God's not done with you. He has not even started yet. He's just getting started. And this morning, God's calling us to recognize that we're to rise up as valiant warriors of God. Why does God fill us with praise? Why does God fill us with his power? Why does God fill us with his anointing? It's not just to have a great time in church or be encouraged on our own souls. It's to go out there and shine his lights in the darkness. Who's got their finger on the trigger of the haze machine? Anybody? We still have any haze left? We use it all up. Give me a little bit of it. No? All right. I do this and I drive people crazy asking for things they're not planning, but that's all right. I made an observation today when I came in and you saw the haze that was here and the light shining in it. And we were just talking about haze a little bit and how it affects fire systems and smoke, and Andrew and I were talking about that. And we don't have to worry about it because it's a water-based thing, so it doesn't trigger the fire alarm. Don't worry. But, you know, the difference that is there in using that or not using it and all that. And I looked, and here was this haze, and the light was streaming through it. Can you picture it? Can you see it? Close your eyes if you can't see it right now. Just picture that light. And it's streaming through that haze. You see the beams of light that are there. And the difference is that when that haze is not there, kind of like now, you can't really see those beams of light. Look at your neighbor and just say, you're just haze. You see, God takes his believers, he takes us as Christians, and he goes, out of the haze machine called the church. And he spits us out into the world so that we can just float out there wherever we are and capture his light. And when other people can't see the light, they can see the captured light in the haze. They can see that beam of light that is there. And we as a church stand together and worship. What a powerful beam of light there is that comes from that. We're not called to do something beyond ourselves without his strength. We're called to do something beyond ourselves with his strength. To go out in this world and capture the light of Jesus Christ and then to let that shine so others can see. That's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to be able to say, my hope is in the Lord. It's going to take courage to be able to give testimony of what God has done in your life. It's going to take courage to be able to praise him in the midst of the storm. It's going to take courage when somebody asks you how your day's going and you don't want to lie. Anybody ever caught there? I don't want to lie, but I don't want to sound like a grouch either, you know? How's your day going? Do you really want to know? How about, I've had better days, but I know that I'm going to not only make it through, but I'm going to be victorious because Jesus loves me and I can trust him and he's going to carry me and I'm going to trust him and we're going to make it through. That takes courage to say that. Any old grouch can complain. It takes a faith-filled believer with courage to say, even though it's a little rough right now, my faith is in the Lord. That's hard, isn't it, sometimes? What about the courage it takes to say to that person that you know needs Jesus, listen, I've heard you talk, and I feel your pain and your hurt and your agony, but let me tell you, I want to be bold right now, but I want to tell you, the only answer to your problems is Jesus. And when you surrender your life to him and you let him begin to lead you and guide you, then take courage. Be encouraged, because he will come and fill you. We need a holy boldness to fill us. When the Holy Spirit moved upon the early church, they were full of boldness, and they went out proclaiming the name of Jesus wherever they went. If you're willing to be filled with that type of courage, if you're willing to have that type of boldness, to not be afraid, but to take courage and to go out as a valiant warrior, to let the light of Christ shine through you, would you lift your hands right now and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, I'm your vessel that you want to work through. I'm the cup that you want to fill so that you can be poured out in the lives of others. I'm the one that you want to use to touch the lives of those around me. No matter how small or insignificant the enemy tells me I am, it doesn't matter. I'll just look at him and say, then I'm just haze. But if that haze has caught the light of Jesus, that haze is going to make a difference in this world. Lord, we're lights in this world. That's a hard prayer to pray. Make us lights in this world. We want to say, well, we're not the light. Jesus is the light. But Lord, if we look at your scripture, you said in scripture, you are the light of the world, speaking to your disciples. That's going to take courage. And I don't know, Lord, it may come a day for some of us in this room when someone might put a gun to our head and might say, if you'll recant your faith in Christ, you live, but if not, you die. There might come a day when those would come against us and would say, if you're a Christian, you're going to die today. We say to live is Christ, to die is gain. I will not recant the name of my Jesus who saved me and set me free. That's going to take courage. Lord, we like to think that in that moment we would have the courage to say, I will not bow down, I will confess the name of Jesus. But then, Lord, we have these little moments through the day, and I'm guilty of it. Little moments where there's an opportunity to shine and let your light shine, and we hesitate. An opportunity to say something that really could impact somebody's life, and we just kind of hold back, and we don't want to offend them, we don't want to hurt them. We have an opportunity to do something that shines with your love and your light and show grace to others, and we second guess, and we think, well, they might think that I'm trying to do this or that or whatever. Lord, give us courage. Give us boldness. It's a one-word message today, believe it or not. There were a lot of words, but it comes down to one word. Courage. Right now, would you just ask God for courage? Say, Lord, give me courage. Just have your private prayer time with the Lord right now. Lord, give me courage. And I hope right now the Lord's telling you where you need that courage. That's not my job this morning. I don't know your life, but God does. And if you don't know, ask him. He's faithful to answer you. Say, God, where do I need more courage? Where do I need more boldness? Give me faith to trust what you say. Give me courage and boldness to live it out. Let me then encourage others. And mutually we encourage one another. It's happened today. What an encouraging atmosphere of your presence today. How encouraging to see you moving and working in the lives of those that needed a touch from you in all of our lives. How encouraging, Lord, to see Gideon's life. We're encouraged today. But with that courage, may we shine as lights in the darkness. With that courage, may the truth of Jesus Christ rule and reign in our hearts. And with that courage, may we go out from this place and may we capture the radiance and the beauty of our Lord and let it shine. Let it shine for this world to see. Let it shine beyond our pain, beyond our brokenness, beyond our hurt, beyond the definition of who we think we are. To shine beyond the past of being cut down, to shine beyond the circumstances of strife, to shine beyond the sheltered existence of someone else under whose authority and anointing we've tried to live, but to step out and say, Lord, I want to shine with your light and with your love. Give me boldness, give me strength, give me courage today to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust you in all these things, to rise up, O valiant warrior. The Lord is with you. Have I not called you? So, Lord, we respond to that call and say, yes, Lord. I'm going to go out with faith and with trust and with confidence and with joy in you. For we are encouraged this day to not look at the waves or the wind, but instead to take courage and to look at you and know that you are faithful to help us to rise up and walk by faith with our trust in you and be encouraged by the power of the living God. If you believe that, if that's for you today, would you say amen? Would you say it with courage? Amen. Amen. I am not afraid, but I am encouraged by the power of the living God. Be bold and be confident in his name. Now may we go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and know that the mountains shake before him, and the earth will quake at the sound of his voice. And you are that ambassador of Christ that is called to go out into the world and let your light shine for him. Give God praise one more time. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out with courage today. In Jesus' name. Amen.